They are back in the toilets in school. Janine is wiping Laurie's eyes and cheeks. Denise and Afric Quinlavin are smoking cigarettes and talking about boys.
Would you do it if you really liked him?
I wouldn't ever like someone who would want me to do something like that.
They all want to do it,
Afric says.
They see it on the internet and then they want you to do it. You should see the stuff my brother has on his computer. It's totally vile.
Like what sort of stuff?
Like, you know, men spraying their, you know, on girls' faces. Like their semen.
Ew, that's so gross.
Or sticking their thing up your arse.
There's no way I'm ever doing that,
Denise says.
Like, why would anyone want to do that?
You can't get pregnant,
Janine says.
If they shag you up the arse, it means you can't get pregnant.
How romantic.
It's like going to the toilet in reverse. It's fucking sick. I don't care.
He tried to talk to Laurie at the graveyard, but she ran away from him. She blocked his calls from her mobile, and he hangs up whenever Dad picks up the house phone. At night, she can feel him outside in the dark, under the trees, looking up at her window. And a part of her wants to go out to him, in spite of everything. But Janine says,
stay away from him.
She says he tried to talk to her, too, after school one day.
What did he say?
I didn't listen. I just blanked him.
And you should too, Laurie. There's something wrong with that guy. I'm serious.
And it's true. What kind of psycho would do something like that? When he knew about the plan, when she'd explained that it wasn't real. But inside, she knows why he did it. It was because he was jealous of her and Daniel. If only he hadn't been jealous. If only he'd believed she just loved him. Though, then she thinks of Daniel's hand on her breast. And she thinks of him hanging around with all those weirdo knackers selling drugs. They give her the creeps. And of his horrible dad, who had sex with a girl in sixth year. And his mom, wandering around the house, stinking of drink and chain-smoking and listening to Lionel Richie. And Carl says he doesn't care if they split up. But that's why he's acting weird, even for him. It's got to be. And she knows what he really needs is someone to care for him. Janine says,
he's a bad guy, Laurie. I mean it. There's something missing from him. He's dangerous.
You don't know him like I do,
Laurie says. Janine thinks for a minute.
Maybe not,
she says.
But I can still tell.
And she's right. Laurie knows it. He's bad. He's all fucked up. You can see it in the marks on his arms. And if her dad ever had a clue that a guy like him had gone near her, she'd be sent off to boarding school in a split second. Because you can tell he's never going to be all right or good. And he swears, and he's always in a bad mood, and all he ever talked about was wanting to have sex with her. Like, does he even really care about her? But then she thinks of his teeth, that are just the right amount of crooked. And she thinks of his body, crushing hers like a door into a world of, and stuff she had never thought about before, not really. And now she can't stop lying in bed. And her mom came in.
I was thinking of you. I had my eyes closed. Oh my God, I've never done that before. And when you press against a body, did you think it could get so hot? Like your skin's in flames and everything underneath like a volcano. And even when you're not touching me, it's like you are. It's like I can see the secret fire beneath everything, even if we're just standing outside McDonald's or on the roof of Ed's. That time you were setting the paper planes alight and throwing them at the guy down on the ground, I drunk a can. My head was spinning. I never laughed so much. And then I stopped laughing and I lay my head down and looked at you in the black sky and I loved you. And the air was full of burning, full of sparks coming off the fiery plains, full of candy bursts of sugar flames, of honey fire, of dream, ruin, disobey. I am never going home.
You were a million miles away,
Mom says.
Thinking of your TV career,
Dad says with a grin.
Here's the news. Laurie Wakeham is going to be famous.
It's just a screen test, Daddy,
she says.
They might say no.
There's no way they'll say no. Look at you. You were born to be on television. I'll tell you a secret. I always knew you were going to make it big.
Oh, stop!
Mom laughs.
You're embarrassing her.
Seriously, the day you were born, I looked at you and I thought, this girl's got it. Star potential.
Dad sits back and rests his hands behind his head.
Something good may yet come out of all this,
he says contentedly.
And you deserve it, too, after all you've been through.
She is back in her house. Mom and Dad are all excited because during the day, the woman from the modeling agency called again, and a different woman from a different modeling agency, and a producer from a TV company who thinks she might be perfect for a new kids program they're making. Maybe Dad is right. Maybe everything will work out after all. But tonight, she just can't concentrate on it. She's got this weird feeling in her stomach. Dad is talking about some big deal going down at work. Secret plans to take over another company.
Mouth closed when we eat, darling,
Mom says.
No one's going to let you on TV with a mouthful of chewed food.
Sorry.
It's different to earlier. Then she just felt empty. This is a definite tingling, like something is alive down there. Lilia comes in and clears the plates. Mom tells Dad about a new kind of tan you can have injected into your skin.
Maybe we should get Lori a salon session before her screen test.
And now worry beats into her head. She feels it strike her temples and cheeks with each fresh wave of blood, and she bows her head so Mom and Dad won't see. What if the stuff leaks through her stomach into her womb? Don't be a spa. It doesn't work that way. You know it doesn't. But what if it does? But Janine said it couldn't happen just from a BJ. But Denise said it could. Oh, fuck. Another crash of worry. Now she feels sick, and there are tears in her eyes, and the taste in her mouth, and the tingling in her stomach gets stronger. Why is she only thinking of this now? Why didn't she think of it before? You can get that magic pill that Janine got that time she was with Oliver Crotty.
It's a kid's show. They're not going to want her waltzing in like she's just arrived from Saint-Tropez,
Dad is saying.
They want the natural look. That's what Laurie's got. Natural, fresh-faced, innocent.
But I'm telling you, this is how they all look these days,
Mom says.
What if she goes for the screen test and all the other girls have tans?
Laurie is trying to remember the sex talk they had in school and what they said about getting pregnant. But all she can remember are the diagrams of the reproductive organs. All that equipment secretly packed in there, coiled up on itself like a bomb in a suitcase, waiting. And those freaky, horrible words, womb, uterine, fallopian, that sounded like the names of aliens, not her own insides.
Well, let's let her decide for herself,
Mom says.
Darling.
What?
If you had the choice, would you rather be a model or a TV presenter? Modeling's classier, I think.
But TV has more exposure,
Dad points out.
I don't know.
It's all Laurie can do to mumble.
I think it's a waste of a girl with Laurie's looks to just plonk her on the television.
In the average ejaculation, there are roughly 350 million sperms. That is another thing she remembers. 350 million? It's like an army. It's like a whole country marching through her insides, taking her over, searching for the egg. And suddenly, it's like she can see them in the great hollow cavern of her stomach. White, slithery terrorists hiding in the shadows, waiting till nightfall to creep into other parts of her body, their tadpole tails flickering almost too fast to see. Oh, God, stop or I'm going to... And then Lilia comes in and sets a bowl down in front of Laurie.
What in God's name is this?
She hears Dad ask from a long way away.
It's tapioca pudding,
Mom tells him.
Remember I was telling you about retro desserts?
Retro is right. I haven't eaten this in 20 years.
Dad digs his spoon into the white-grey mess and lifts it to his mouth.
It's a bit runny.
May I be excused?
As soon as she's left the room, she starts to run. She makes it to the bathroom just in time. Hanging over the toilet bowl, she hears Sister Benedict's voice ring through her head, saying,
"Though God can do all things, he cannot raise a virgin after she has fallen."
She sees the nuns ringed around her, staring at her big belly. They are shaking their heads and whispering, "Slut," to each other. And Mom not saying "slut," but thinking it. And Dad not saying anything. Just going red, and then walking downstairs to the gym, and doing bench presses for 3 hours. And the woman from the TV production company saying,
"I'm terribly sorry. No sluts."
But she's not a slut. She just wanted to make him like her. She just didn't want him to think she was frigid or a lesbian. Her stomach is so sore. The muscles there are crying out, and she is crying too, the tears dripping down into the bowl like kids coming down a water slide. And after she's finished, she can still feel the things in her stomach. They're still there. And in the distance, the intercom goes, and she hears Mom and someone else go, mumble, mumble, mumble. And then Mom's voice rings out,
"Lorelei?"
Oh my God, who is it? She looks in the mirror. She is hideous. Her eyes are all red, and her cheeks too, and her hair is straggly, and there is snot everywhere.
"Lori!"
Mom calls again. Oh no, is it the producer? This is definitely God punishing her. Though if he punishes her this way, maybe he won't make her pregnant.
"Just a second,"
she calls down, and scrubs her face in the sink, so it looks like she's just been washing, not crying, and blows her nose, which some sick has got into, and then puts on some lip gloss and goes downstairs. But it's not the producer, or the woman from the agency. Instead, it's an extremely fat boy in a Seabrook uniform. Unless she's imagining it, he's giving her a really evil stare. In a cold, Falcon Crest-type voice, she says,
"Yes?"
"I have a message for you,"
goes the fat boy. And in that instant, Lori feels her heart stop dead and freeze up, like a ghost has wrapped its hands around it, even before the fat boy goes on.
"From Skippy."
She looks down at Mom, hoping she'll say, "I'm sorry, dear, we're having dinner." But Mom has already gone back into the dining room.
"Come upstairs,"
she says to him in a low voice. Some fat people, though not actually attractive, can look cuddly or jolly. That's not the kind of fat he is. As he climbs towards her, he gasps for air. The stairs groan under his feet, and when he reaches the top, he has sweat on his forehead. She leads him into her bedroom, where he peers around at everything, like he's never been in a girl's room before, which is quite likely.
"Were you one of Daniel's friends?"
she asks, slipping off her scrunchie and swinging out her lustrous black hair.
"I was his roommate in school,"
he says, studying the pictures on her wall. The horses, Bethany and her boyfriend.
"It was so terrible what happened to him,"
she says devoutly. He does not say anything to this, just releases a kind of a hiss, like steam from a pressure cooker. Suddenly she feels sick again. She wishes he would go.
"What was the message he wanted you to give to me?"
"He wanted me to tell you he loved you,"
the fat boy says. He says it levelly, icily, like a teacher telling you that you'll never amount to anything.
"It was his last wish,"
the fat boy says.
"I know that."
"Now he's dead."
Lori flushes. She doesn't like that word being said in her room. She considers asking him to leave, but another part of her is advising her to tread carefully. Be diplomatic. The boy has sunk into a chair and flops there motionlessly, staring at the floor. There is a black anger radiating from him.
"Was there anything else?"
she says coldly, the way her mother speaks to shop assistants. The boy doesn't respond. He keeps clenching and unclenching his fat fists. Then in a low, mean voice, he says,
"It was you in that video."
Laurie flinches.
What?
It was you on the donut shop roof. You and Carl.